Hey everyone, welcome to the Greater Than Podcast. My name is Elijah Merle. So honored and blessed you took out the time to join us again today. You know the purpose of this podcast, 1 John 4:4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have already overcome them, for greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world." What we want to do in the podcast is take what's going on in the world, even culture, and approach it from a biblical perspective to find and remind ourselves that greater is he on the inside of us than he that is in the world. Oh, today, I tell you what, we're in for a special treat. One of my close friends, love her so much, Jenna English, is in the building. Jenna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. It's good to have you here. For those of you who don't know, of course, you know, if you listen to the podcast faithfully, that I got ordained in Atlanta as a reverend, and that was good. Praise God for that time. And before that, though, I was an intern with the Pearsons. Oh, but before that, I was helping Jenna English at her Bible study.
Intern
at the Bible study. And I was helping and being a part of that. Such amazing time, great testimonies. We're going to touch on that here on the podcast. One thing that I want to kind of bring up here, and then we'll pray. One thing that the Lord put on my heart for this podcast is Judges 8:10. It talks about Gideon and his son, and that there was an opportunity for his son to actually, he needed him in battle to help him to kill some guys who had done some things that were wrong and all kinds of stuff. You can look up that for yourself. We're not trying to get all doom and gloomy, right? But still, there's something that I saw that the Lord kind of pointed out to me that's kind of stuck with me ever since I read it a few years ago. In Judges 8:20, it says, "And he said to his son," this is Gideon talking to his son, "rise and kill them. But the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid, because he was still a youth." Now, I feel like there are people, because they're young, because they don't have all the backing, they don't have all the things that they think they need to have in order to make an impact, you're afraid to draw your sword. And of course, in the New Testament, the sword is referenced to the word of God. We understand that. So the purpose of this podcast is to get you to a place where, you know what, I'm gonna draw the sword. Whatever that is for you, wherever walk of life you find yourself in, I want you to be able to take this podcast and be encouraged to draw the sword. So Jenna, would you just kind of briefly, first of all, just tell us who you are and what you do?
My name's Jenna English. And what do I do right now? I don't do much of anything in this quarantine, I'll be honest with you.
Well, that's true. That COVID-19 out here.
But usually I go to school at MSU and substitute teach. And I waitress and I sing at church and gigs. So, yeah. And I attend Faith Life.
Faith Life Church. Yeah. Uh-oh. Shout out to Faith Life Church of Branson, Missouri, Sarasota, Florida. You understand me? Hey, listen, Jenna can sing, y'all. Hey, Jenna, give them a little bit of When I Think About the Lord. Give a little bit of that.
That's my favorite. Sure.
When I think about the Lord.
Uh-oh.
How he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how
what?
He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord,
wait a minute,
how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground.
Oh my goodness, hold up. No, you gotta go ahead and make sure you want to shout. Go ahead and finish it, Jenna.
It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout.
Ooh, listen. You heard it here first, all right? Jenna English, look her up. Get her on that album. Hey, all right? I want a cut of that, though, of the money, of the proceeds. But still, get her on the album. Okay, so anyway, I bring all this up to say, once again, I want to encourage the youth to draw their sword and do whatever they feel like the Lord's calling them to do. Obviously, you can't. Like I said, she started a Bible study. Obviously, we can't do that quite like we were doing it back then, right now. But you can do something. You can do a Zoom call. I just want to encourage you that what you have right now is what you need to make that come to pass. So kind of tell us about Jenna, the Bible study, how that came about and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I was trying to figure out exactly when the Bible study started. I think that it was super late 2014, but it could have been the very beginning of 2015. And it lasted until the end of 2016. So it went on for a year or two. And I had spent a summer in California. Mm-hmm. And it was not a great time, I'll be honest with you. I really felt I didn't really feel like I was supposed to make that move, you know, and I did it anyway. And it, you know, I got some stuff from it for sure, but I came back kind of deflated, because yeah. I just felt like I had missed it, you know. But I had really had it in my heart. Like, I kept feeling like the Lord was talking to me about starting a Bible study whenever I had gotten back. And I just thought that was random, you know, and I kind of ignored it for a while. Yeah. And it kept coming up in my heart. And so I just told the Lord, like, okay, if this is the right thing, it's kind of a weird way, I guess, of being led, but this is where I was at the time. I told the Lord, like, if I'm supposed to start a Bible study, just keep bringing it up in my heart, you know?
Yeah.
And he did. I mean, it was like months passing and it just kept coming up strong in my heart. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I felt like I was supposed to start a Bible study just in my, you know, 700 square foot apartment and that I was supposed to have food there every time. And that the Lord had put it in my heart that if people didn't come, you know, to feed on the word, they come to feed on, you know, hot dogs, whatever.
Yeah.
And it would bring more people, you know, and even if people just came for the food, like there would still be seeds planted, you know, with those people. So yeah, I finally obeyed and got it going. And there's some pretty amazing things that happened and came from it.
Really, for sure. You know, the verse that you kind of based it on, it was in Matthew 5, I believe it was. Can you kind of tell us about that? It was Matthew 5, verse 6.
Yeah. I felt like the Lord put it on my heart that like the hungry shall be filled. And at that time, like, I definitely was a Christian and I like followed the Lord. But, you know, I wasn't. I still very much like depended on other people that I respected,
yeah,
as far as my relationship with God was concerned. Yeah. And, but I had a hunger for God, you know, and I felt like the Lord was really ministering to my heart at the time that that's all that matters, you know, and like, if there's a hunger there, then he's going to fill you. And, my heart at that time was, and still, was really for people that don't want to go to church, you know,
yeah,
and don't want to be near a church. And, you know, I didn't grow up in a very, you know, religious household or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents are amazing people, but I didn't grow up in church, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, my mom and I would like pray before I went to bed, you know, and that was about the extent,
yeah,
you know, and so, you know, my heart was for people that were outside of those four walls of the church, you know, and I wanted to create this environment that welcomed those people, you know,
yeah,
and not that churches don't, like, of course they do, but there are some people that, you know, they're just not there, you know, they could go to a Bible study in an apartment, but they're not ready to go to, you know, 100 congregation or more,
yeah,
church. And so I really felt like I was supposed to create this environment where people from all walks of life could come. And we had all kinds of people there.
Yeah.
You know, we had people that proclaimed, you know, atheism. We had people that were like hardcore, you know, Christians and were in church their whole lives. We had Mormons, you know.
Yep.
I mean, everybody. And it was awesome. And, you know, just to see like how the Lord moved in that just as much as anywhere else. I mean, I've been to, you know, huge conventions and stuff.
Yep.
And I felt the presence of the Lord just as much in that 700 square foot apartment. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was good. And, you know, for me, those who know me, you know how I am. I'll go out there. I'm outgoing with what I feel like the Lord's called me to do. Right. And I remember when she asked me to preach there, I was like, oh, wow, this is cool. You know, opportunity to use that gift. And I'll never forget my first message. My first message that I did at the Bible study, if I'm not mistaken, was Jesus being our surety and our surety for healing. I think it was about healing, something about healing. And Jenna mentioned the Mormons that came to the Bible study. So I remember doing that. And afterwards, we would pray, right? We'd get in and we'd pray. So we formed a little prayer circle or whatever, and we were praying for people, and we got to the Mormons. And I remember, you know, the joy of the Lord kind of hit me, and I remember laughing in the spirit. And, that, you know, there is a laugh in the spirit, and we don't have time to cover that. But the Bible does say when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Our mouth was filled with laughter. It's a sign of being free. You know, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Anyway, I'm laughing. And I laid my hands on the person that we were praying for, and they started laughing, right? And restoration of joy. It was restoring. I think it was one of the girls there, and restoration of joy for her. And I remember, and you got to, if I remember this wrong, just let me know. But for me, like, right, when we were done and everything, they totally tiptoed out of the
apartment. I'll never forget that day. Yeah. Well, they had been super faithful. And I knew that at some point, you know, our beliefs, or however you want to phrase it, were going to be different, and that was going to surface, you know, and that was okay. Like, I still am friends with a lot of those people to this day. And like my relationship with them actually, was really awesome to me. 'Cause I remember one of the girls in particular, I was really good friends with her for a long time. And, you know, we would talk about the Lord, and I just knew that she had a relationship with the Lord too, even though we believe two very different things. But, you know, like that helped me to see like the Lord meets people where they're at, you know, and, you know, and no judgment on them or on her or anything, you know, like, I'm sure we're both wrong in a lot of different ways, and we're both right in a lot of different ways. But yeah, that day in particular, that was one of the days where like our differences in belief surfaced a little bit. And I remember them all kind of backing out slowly from the apartment, and it was like, you know, hey, we're probably not gonna be here next Sunday because we got things going on. And I'm like, okay, no problem, we'll see you in a couple weeks. And they're like, we might be busy in a couple weeks. And we didn't
Never saw him again.
I don't know that they came back, but like we are still friends to this day. We still love each other, and like we still definitely both sowed a lot of stuff into each other's lives, you know, at that place and at that point. And I felt like in that Bible study, you know, the differences between people and their walks with God and everything, that's what really made that study shine, you know.
Yeah, I really do. I believe that. And, you know, we're just telling stories on this one about that. I want to take out a time to honor that, honor to whom honor is due, honoring Jenna and honoring the Lord and what he did in those Bible studies. It was an amazing time. I remember another time Micah Herbert was there, and we did one on the gifts of the Spirit. We were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about on the podcast soon. But we talked about that. And I remember we got into a flow, and we started just by the help of the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge for people. And I remember a certain person that I had on my heart, and I remember calling something out there and about them being at a place where they felt this anxiety, this fear or whatever that was kind of gripping them. I don't remember the particulars of it, but I remember the next day Jenna being like, oh yeah, by the way, that person is saying that they're an atheist or something like that. It was this crazy thing. But once again, that's like, we're not glorifying me, right? We're saying that the Lord was in this Bible study, meeting different people where they were in life. So Jenna, really quick, kind of go over the format of how the Bible study worked in those days.
Yeah, I will, though it keeps scratching the back of my head. Are we supposed to pray?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we not? I just got into a flow.
I don't think we did, which is okay. But hey, listen. I can't. This is keeps scratching my mind.
Keeps scratching her mind. Go ahead, Jenna. Let her pray. Let her pray.
Okay. Lord, thank you for this podcast and this ability. And we just ask you, Father, for your hand on it, your blessing on it. And I just thank you, Father, for speaking through both of us and bringing everything to our remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, sweet.
Okay, what was your question? Sorry.
No, no, it's all good. Go over the format of the Bible study, how it worked.
Yeah. So I would just ask everybody over and we would, I think we would eat first, or sometimes we'd do it like simultaneously. Yeah, we would all like, everything's coming back to my remembrance now because this has been a little while now.
Because we prayed.
Yeah. And so I'd have food there every time, or sometimes other people would supply it. And we would all just pray over the food, we'd eat, we'd fellowship and like get to know each other. And then we would just start going into the Bible study. And at first I was leading a lot of them, but then I really had it on my heart to have other people lead it, you know? And I did it like by volunteer first. And then I stopped doing that because like it kind of would take a lot to get somebody to volunteer. And so I started just asking people, you know, if they would do it and step out and lead it. You know, I asked, I think you were probably one of the volunteers, but you know, like I would ask you, we would all start kind of rotating it, you know, it'd be like me and then you and Danny and Ben and Zach. And I mean, tons of people that were there regularly. I would have them lead it because I felt in my heart, like the Lord was telling me that there were going to be people from this Bible study, like the, these were seeds being planted for people that were going to go on to do really big things, you know, like whomever you want to say, Kenneth Copeland's or, you know, like big people that were going to have a huge impact
in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I really felt like it was almost as well like a training ground for people, you know, sure. and for myself too. So then whomever would start leading it, and it was pretty open, you know, conversational. Usually like people would prepare and like make their notes and stuff, whoever was leading it, and then we would talk during the Bible study, like during the lesson, you know, with each other and ask questions, and it was like a very open platform, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I didn't want it to just be like a sermon, you know, I wanted it to be conversational. And so, yeah, I mean, sometimes it would go an hour, sometimes it'd go like 3 to 4 hours, you know, we had some late nights.
We had some late ones.
And then we'd close it out and some people would help me clean up and that was it. It was like every Sunday evening, I think.
We did it. It was great. And then about the questions, like how you would have people write questions.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So every new person that came in, I wanted them to write a question on a piece of paper and put it in this box that I kept. I still have. It's with me right now. And not put their name on it. And they could put whatever question they wanted.
Making a safe environment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so pretty much everybody, there might've been like a couple people that got missed or something, or that didn't want to put a question in, but, I would a lot of times pull from this box on, what our Bible study would be about. And yeah. And so every single person wrote something down, a question down.
And it's, it was really good to do that. Like I said, it's a safe environment to allow people to do that, express those questions and not feeling judged about it, you know, and, where are people going to be able to relate that that's on their heart if you don't give them that place, that space to be like, here's where I'm at. What about this? You know, how do we really know good and evil? You know, different questions that come up, the tongues question, you know, that that the person asked. And it was just a good thing. And so, Jenna, I know you've got some of the questions there. Do you want to read a couple of them? Just like,
yeah, sure.
Here's like some of what went down at the Bible study. I'm bringing you guys in on this one because, like I said, there's some youth that need to draw their sword and do what God is telling them to do. And we got some testimonies, too, about what happened in these Bible studies that are going to bless you. Now, Jenna, read a couple of questions there.
Yeah. And what I liked about all of the questions is how honest they are, but also how different they are. And like I said, my favorite one in here is the one that says, why are you guys speaking in gibberish, like tongues? You guys sound like morons, was the exact question/statement. But I loved the honesty, you know? So this one says, how has God shown his love in our lives this week? Can anyone really be good? What does being a good person even mean? So it says everyone will have the chance to know the Lord, but what about people that haven't had the opportunity and have already died?
Oh, this is good. Mm-hmm. Good questions.
I know someone that's going through a bad time with their family involving divorce and abuse. How can I help him? And what the other thing that I liked and also that made me really uncomfortable as well about these questions is that I would read them and a lot of them I wouldn't know how to answer.
Yeah.
You know, even now I can't say like for sure that I can open every single one of these questions and just boom, here's my answer, you know? And so it really made me evaluate as well, like where I'm at and what I need to like seek the Lord on, you know, but it also like gave me some humility. Like I'm not even kind of a know-it-all, you
exactly.
know? And
exactly.
I'm just another person doing what I know to do. But there's another one about being good or bad. We were talking about earlier that a lot of people kind of ask this sort of question. What defines somebody as being good or bad? Or in better words, what makes a good person good and what makes a bad person bad?
And there was one question. I don't know if it's written down there. There was one question that was asked about the crucifixion and about Jesus being crucified or whatever. And I remember that was one of my sermons and that I did little lessons called The Significance of the Crucifixion. And I'll never forget that one because there were people that came that didn't normally come to the Bible study. They were there that day and he was legit vaping while I'm preaching about the significance of the crucifixion. I loved it so much, man. He's just in here. I loved it. It was great. And this is the kind of thing that would happen here. So, like I said, I feel like people are called to do things. And it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be this big thing. You know, the Bible study in terms of number didn't turn into like an Elevation Church type thing at all. You know, it didn't turn.
Sometimes it'd be like two of us.
Yeah. Sometimes it'd be two of us just endeavoring to do what we do. But we had the presence of God, like you said earlier, about being in these big conventions and having the same tangible presence of God in the two Bible studies with two people. You know, one example I remember, I know Danny is in the room here with me, so he'll remember this one specifically. We had one night, I don't know if this is when you came back from Texas being at the Believers Convention or not, but I don't remember. But I do remember this. There was one night after the Bible study, we played Carrie Job.
I was totally going to talk about this. Yes.
We played Carrie Job and the anointing and presence of God fell on us.
Crazy.
And it was literally, you know, the Bible talks about the high priest couldn't stand to minister because of the reason of the glory of God coming. That's what happened. If I remember correctly, we all sat down and nobody could get up.
I remember we were all like babies just bawling. And we just kept playing that song. What was that song?
Was it Forever?
No. Your praise will ever be on my lips. It was that one. Is that Carrie Job?
I don't know if that's Carrie Job.
I don't think that's Carrie Job.
I don't think that's Carrie Job. It was either that one or Forever. One of the two. Forever, he's glorified, lifted high. Yeah, one of the two. I know that's Carrie Job.
Yeah. Yeah, but I remember that. Like we all were just like, if anybody would have walked in that room, I feel like they would have been like, man, it feels so good in here. But you guys are all crying.
Yeah. It was heavy. It was heavy. You remember that, Danny? Oh man, I tell you, it was heavy. So these are just testimonies, right? Of what happened and people experiencing the presence of God, right? Because everybody has that question, well, does God even exist? You know? And for those who were there that night, they experienced him.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I know of another testimony of a guy who came in and while we were praying, he put his hand on my shoulder or something, right? And he said he felt like this warm milk type substance on him when I was praying. He felt the anointing and presence of God. You know, he said it wasn't honey because it wasn't sticky. So to him, it was like warm milk.
Mm-hmm.
This is manifestations of the presence and power of God that you can't script. You know, I think I heard you say it once. It's like when we would pray and be in that circle, it's like there's a little string. Mm-hmm. And if you to touch that string, you can talk to God, you can connect to God. Mm-hmm. It was that easy to flow.
Yeah. And it was crazy, like, what the people that the Lord would choose to touch in that Bible study was amazing to me, you know, because there would be like, you know, this sounds really spiritual, you know, but like prophetic words for people, you know, and or just like one of us would just be like, man, I just have it on my heart to say, like, I think somebody here is going through this or whatever, you know, and I just want to say, like, the Lord says this about that. And it would be like the person that has not been, you know, in relationship with the Lord, maybe ever, you know, and would just, you would just see like a tear come to their eye where they were, they just felt like that presence of God, maybe for the first time, you know, and it really and truly blew my mind. Yeah. Or, you know, like with Catherine, I had asked her if I could share her testimony, you know, about that. Catherine Pledger, she's like, she's somebody that I've known for a super long time. She's like a little sister to me. She, at that time, I had heavily had her on my heart, and she was involved in, you know, just a lot of stuff, you know, at the time, whatever, doing drugs or drinking or partying or hanging out with the wrong people, you know, all of that. And man, like at the time, I don't think she'd mind me saying this, like, she was kind of hard to be around. She's kind of mean. I loved her, but she just like, she was so unhappy at that time, you know, that I felt like her fuse was kind of short. And the Lord had really put her on my heart to, that was, I think, her senior year, and to help her, you know, with school, because she was like skipping so much school that I was concerned she was gonna not make it. She was concerned about that too. Yeah. And anyway, and so I just felt like the Lord kept leading me to invite her to these Bible studies, invite her over to the house, invite her to hang out with, you know, my friends and stuff. And she started kind of slowly coming around. And so she came to a Bible study, and I don't know that it was her first Bible study. I can't remember, you know, but one of the Bible studies, I think it was the one that Micah preached at, Micah Herbert. And be honest with you, I don't even remember what he talked about, but he said he totally called Catherine out and was like, the Lord, you know, has something amazing for you. I mean, I don't remember the exact words, but he spoke to her about things that like only her and the Lord could know, you know, about her. And I just remember her bawling, you know, it makes me feel emotional. Because her life like changed from that point on, you know, it's kind of rare that you see somebody change 100% like that and never look back, you know, like, or I'm sure she had moments where she looked back, but she never went back, you know.
Yeah, it was good.
And she was so like, she pulled out of all of that stuff. She pulled out of, you know, just drinking or partying or whatever, you know, and she, like, I specifically remember she was just nicer. Like, she was just like, she just got her joy back, you know? And she was like the sweet Catherine that I had already, I'd once known, but hadn't seen for a long time, you know? She, like, that bitterness completely left her. And she became super faithful to that Bible study.
Yeah, for sure.
And she was there every single time. She brought all kinds of people to that Bible study. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And she just hooked, you know, 100%. And she was faithful. And then she started making new friends and stuff, you know, not that she like totally left her old friends behind or anything, because I'm, you know, not a huge fan of like that sort of vocabulary, but she needed some time to separate, you know, and she did. And and she now, like, she's a totally different person. And she's with like an amazing man who loves the Lord, you know, and she's never gone back to that life, you know?
Yeah.
And she just totally got her relationship back with the Lord. And to this day, she marks like the moment of that change was that night at that Bible study. And Micah remembers that night too, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just so amazing to see like the Lord, just literally just the Lord's love,
mm-hmm. yeah.
touch somebody and them never be the same again, you know?
Yeah.
And because I mean, like, that's what it's all about. With her, it wasn't like Micah said something like, you're doing the wrong thing and you need to stop doing this and you need to stop doing that and you need to stop doing that. It yeah. was just like, the Lord loves you and you're supposed to do amazing things, you know, that sort of message, that sort of heart. And that was enough, you know, like it was a ripple effect into the rest of her life. Yeah. And it was like to see the Lord's love, like something so simple, impact somebody's life to that degree. I mean, if the Bible study was just for that moment, it would have all been worth
come
it,
on.
You know, which it wasn't. I mean, it impacted other people's yep. lives too, but it impacted my life. But even if it was just for her,
yeah.
like, shoot, you know, it was 100%.
That's what it's all about, you know? And I remember there was some, like I said, I'm not trying to be flaky jakey or weird with you, but I remember there was a moment where like, I keep remembering stories with Danny, but there was a moment where Danny was praying in the spirit, which is biblical. It's biblical. And he was praying in the spirit. And if I remember right, he said like a something and then he looked it up and it was like in an Asia or some kind of tongue like that. It was, what was it? It was Chinese. Yeah, he looked it up, literally looked it up mm-hmm. afterwards, and it was Chinese. Well, that was a manifestation that, I mean, he wasn't thinking like, I'm speaking Chinese now, you mm-hmm. know, but it was just the Lord improved. It's not about just about these dramatic, there's that good testimony with Catherine, but there's also testimonies of people growing in their spiritual gifts.
Totally.
That's for me, you know, that's mm-hmm. what happened with me, growing in my spiritual gifts and being at a place where I can do what I'm doing today, mm-hmm. you know, and the Lord using that as stepping stones, right? So what did you bring here? You see, you got a couple other things here.
Yeah, it's just, I always like, I'm a big note taker and like,
old notes.
Writer. And so I did notes every week, you know, and I have, I mean, not every single Bible study lesson, but a lot of them, you know, and it's crazy to like look through these because you could just see, like, I can see how much I was growing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think like all of those awesome like manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we were experiencing, I felt like that was the Lord pretty much saying to us, like, you aren't too young
there it is.
To do something awesome.
Yeah.
And you, just because you live in a small apartment and you're a waitress or whatever, yeah, doesn't like, mean you can't do something great. Doesn't mean that you can't do something that, you know, Keith Moore is doing, or, yeah, you know, yeah. like you don't have to work up to this crazy point in ministry or your relationship with God in order for God to show up, you know,
yeah.
or for you to be the one that interprets, you know, tongues for somebody or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, like, because I think all of us were, I guess I can only speak for myself. Like I was very much just thinking like that I had to be at this massive place, you know, in order to witness things like that or to yeah. witness healings, you know, even though that's like super silly, you know, I feel like Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't like only heal people on a stage, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like lately I've been really looking or listening to Brother Moore's series about, precious in his sight, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about identity. And it's funny because I really feel like, you know, like what you've been talking about on the podcast with like graces and places, you know,
yeah.
and stepping out and everything, like that really ties into identity, you know.
That's good.
Because, you know, at the time with the Bible study, I didn't think that the Bible study was going to be a big deal, or, and I even pushed it off because it was like, you know, whatever, it's not big. I probably won't be able to get very many people there. And there were a lot of times that I like, I shamed myself because, you know, oh, only three people are showing up, you know, but sometimes those were the best ones, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes we'd have like 20 people or something, but not always, you know, but I still to this day have people like come up to me and talk to me about it. And, or even like, I mean, so many people, I'm looking through these like journals that people kept, in the Bible study that I still have now, or I'm looking through these notes and everything. And it's like all of the people that came, I am like floored, you know? And I don't know. I just feel like whenever it comes to identity, like what I'm saying about that is whenever your identity is tied into the speaker, like into the Lord, then you won't scoff at something that he's telling you to do. You know what I'm saying? Because I think a lot of times people, they tie their identity into whatever they're producing. And so they're like, well, if I'm not producing enough, then I'm not enough, you know? And so I want what I'm doing to be on a big stage for millions of people, because then that's a reflection of me and how I'm doing in life, you know? So whenever the Lord tells somebody to go clean a toilet at a church, it's like, oh, that's not enough, you know? I'm more than that, you know?
Come on.
And so I feel like I'm still learning this, you know, but whenever you start realizing like that your identity is in the Lord, then you won't scoff at a toilet clean, and you won't scoff at three or four people being at your Bible study or whatever. Yeah. And whenever you start stepping out and doing those little things, like it's crazy. You watch people get inspired, you know? And even recently, like I felt like I should start a blog, and I was like, nobody's gonna read it except like my grandma, you know. And I like really pushed it off, you know. And then whenever I finally did it, I had somebody immediately reach out to me and say, you know, this has inspired me to start a Bible study.
Wow.
It's like, what?
Come on.
I don't know. Just it's wild how something like this Bible study really did ripple effect into life that I don't even know the full extent.
I don't think we ever will.
But it was massive.
It was. You know?
And like even Jamie, you know, with do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah, go talk about Jamie. Yeah.
Okay. So there was whenever I had first started the Bible study, I was driving down the side of the road and I saw this girl. It was like 90 degrees outside. It was just super hot. And she was carrying like a ton of groceries up this hill. And I checked my heart, like, Lord, should I help her? You know, I felt right about it. So turned around, helped her, picked her up, took her to her apartment. And then I just felt like the Lord said, like, you know, invite her to your Bible study. And I would do that with a ton of people. I would do that with, you know, homeless people that I met on the streets or whatever. And like, there was one guy in particular that he was hanging out by Starbucks for a long time and he was homeless. And I would invite him to my Bible study and he never came, but I would start bringing him our leftover food, you know, and just stuff like that.
Come on.
And but anyway, this girl, you know, that I had seen on the side of the road with all these groceries, I asked her and I felt a little weird about it and, you know, like embarrassed. And and she was like, yeah, you know, I'd love to. And so anyway, she stuck with us the entire Bible study. She was there every single week. And she got a ton from it. There was plenty of times where she, I'd drive her home every single time we did Bible study and a lot of times pick her up. She didn't drive. And so many times that she'd just look at me and thank me and, you know, just talk about how it was helping her and affecting her and just being around people, you know, and like these people that loved her was changing her life, you know?
And one thing I'll say about that is, one night she asked us, what do we believe or what denomination were we? And I remember I responded and I haven't, it just kind of happened, you know, in the spur of the moment. She's like, well, what's your denomination? What do you guys believe? I said, well, we just believe the Bible.
Yeah.
And I told her, we just believe the Bible, you know, and loving on her and others who came, Miles, I'm reminded of him. And, mm-hmm. you know, just so many others that came and were a part of that Bible study. And I know you as the listeners, you don't necessarily know these people or know their stories, but it's the soul that I'm talking about more mm-hmm. so than the people. I'm talking about like how you can take the word of God and do something with it that'll help others mm-hmm. and bring people to a place where like, okay, grow in your spiritual gift. You know, like I said, my friend Danny's still in, he's in the room here. I remember one night I pulled him aside while we were praying one day and I said, hey, tongues and interpretation. I'm going to pray in the spirit and you're going to interpret. And I remember that helped a friend of ours mm-hmm. to get to the next level in mm-hmm. what God was calling him to do. You know, and it was just that thing, right? It's something that changed that person's life. Mm-hmm. Going and moving to and being a part of the internship that I would later join mm-hmm. and with Jeremy and Sarah and some of those words that were spoken to him that night in tongues and interpretation really blessed him to be like, okay, I'm going to step out, yeah. you know, and this those kind of testimonies. Okay, read some notes from the studies, just like a couple of quotes. I know you got a couple of sure. journals from people. Just want people to hear and kind of. What was going on there?
This is Zach's Bible study.
Zach, pleasure. Shout out to you.
Yep. And, you know, I talk so much. But I remember this Bible study because I remember Zach being nervous to give a lesson because Zach is like, he's totally confident in himself, not an insecure person whatsoever. But whenever it came to like public speaking, mm-hmm. yeah. he would get scared, you know, and so I remember him growing a lot from being put on the spot in this study. But this one, it was the important little things are important. Don't have this mentality. If I can't do the best thing, I won't do anything.
Oh, come on now. Wait a minute. Go back. Run that back, Jenna.
No, he says, don't have this mentality. If I can't do the best thing, I won't do anything.
Wow.
He says it's the bad versus good versus great problem.
Mm.
Physical exercise and discipline. I remember him talking about, you know, just the how the little things are just important, you know, or what we look at as little. It's probably not little. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
There's just so many good things that came out of that Bible yeah. study. And
I mean, even just myself, because I remember just feeling like whenever I led the Bible study and stuff, I would think throughout the week, if I don't take time to hang out with God and like get quiet,
yeah,
it's going to be a dud on Sunday.
Yeah.
So it required me to like do something I had never done. I had never given the Lord that much of my time before, if I'm just being honest, you know,
yeah.
And I discovered so many things about like the Lord and his heart, and I grew. And like my ability to, you know, I could be kind of shy or whatever and bashful with people mm-hmm. and stuff too. And it definitely like helped me to grow in my confidence and stuff too. This one was about how do we keep from comparing ourselves with one another? So I remember that came up a lot. People yeah. asking questions about that, like judgment and all of that. One of the quotes in here says, we all got laundry, but we all have different loads, and I shouldn't use the same detergent and cycle as you.
Wow.
So, and I don't know who led that one. I should have written it down on here. This one says, it's a different lesson. What are the practices, characteristics of a righteous person? What do they look like, act like, say, talk like? I think that was trying to answer some of those questions about like what's a good person.
Yeah, that's what we do. We take those questions. Someone would take a question and that would be their Bible study.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because like this one, I see a lot of it is talking about Pharisees, you know, and what the Pharisees did, because I think a lot of people still have that mentality today that like a good person, they do all of these things, you know, it's like the tradition that they keep yeah. up with and stuff, where, you know, I'm really whatever makes a good person it all has to do with the heart whenever it comes to God, you know? And so I think that that's what we were talking about here. Like, yeah, a Pharisee like fasted all the time and prayed all the time and they dressed modestly and they went to church and they tithed. But I mean, who did Jesus struggle with the most, you know?
Come on. These are things that we were talking about, everyday things, people, the questions that people had by the help of the Holy Spirit. This, and once again, it required us to study and to get it and to get in the presence of God and be like, how can we answer these questions? You know? And then preparing me for the questions that I'm answering on the podcast today.
Totally.
You know? And so can you read one more?
Absolutely.
Like I said, this podcast right here is just a story time. Story time, man. I want you to be encouraged, guys. I know I keep harping on it, but I'm going to say it again. Start. Do the thing that God's calling you to do. I don't care if it seems like not many people. Write the book. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Write that book. Start the band. You know, get the Zoom call together. If you got to start there, start there. We know how the world is right now. But find a way to grow in your gifts and your callings. You never know who that'll touch. And that'll go, listen, let me say it like this. Jenna's Bible study that started with three people. I was in that group. I was in that number. Look at what I'm doing now with the podcast. We got people listening in Ireland, Zimbabwe, Australia. The Bible study went from Jenna's apartment to Australia because I still carry that. I still have that from learning and growing and developing my gifts there. So don't despise the small beginning. Don't despise where God has placed you and what he's put in your hand. Be faithful to it, to tend it, to grow it. No. Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah. And, you know, like towards the close of the Bible study, you know, a lot of people in our Bible study were called to the Pearson's ministry, you know, and I definitely believe that that Bible study prepared them for that, you know, put things in their heart that strengthened them and strengthen their relationship with the Lord and help them to understand things about him, to be able to stand on him, you know, and to go into that internship ministry, you know, with a preparedness that they didn't have before, you know. This one says, how do we get faith? You know, and I put this, I don't know if it was me. I don't remember who did this, but now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. We aren't just supposed to have faith. We are supposed to have sincere faith. And talking about what sincere faith is and what faith enables us to do. How do we know that the Lord loves us and cares? I mean, it was like baby steps, you know, like just back to basics, you know, which I needed. Like, you know, like I said, at that time, I think I had kind of put it in my head that because I didn't grow up, you know, hearing these things or whatever, that I couldn't do big things or something, you know what I'm saying? And and that's not to like harp on my parents or anything. Like my parents love me with like a undying love and they put things into my heart and encouraged me in ways that nobody else has ever done for me, you know? So I just want to make it clear that like, this isn't like a bash on my parents or anything, but you know, I had it in my head that, you know, all of my friends, I think at the time, like they very much grew up in ministry and stuff. And so I, at the time, like really kind of compared myself, you know, and which, you know, the word, like there's that one scripture that says like comparing yourselves among yourselves with yourselves, you miss the point, you know. I'm sorry, I don't know the reference off the top of my head.
True. Yeah, it's not wise.
And yeah, it's not wise. That's it. And I remember reading over that scripture like a million times at that time, and I'd be like, I have no idea what the scripture is talking about. It's like, this says with yourselves a million times. I'm lost, you know. And I'm like that meme with the lady with like the equations all around her head. And but like through this Bible study, I understood what that scripture meant. You know, like whenever you compare yourself with other people, you miss what's on the inside of you, you know.
And that's a big thing as we begin to wrap this up. That's a big thing. Don't compare yourself to someone else. What are you called to do? What's in your hand? What can you grow and develop as the Lord helps you and leads you in this time? like I said, this Bible study, it started off with three people, you know, it grew, you know, we'd have like 20 people, but there were healings. I remember one time I called something out of someone's back or something like that. And I grabbed someone and I was like, and I turned them around. And I said, you just got this pain right here in your back. And then I asked, who is that? And the very person that I pulled out raised their hand like, that's me. You know, it's like growing and developing in those gifts, right? In that place to where I could later on at the church that I was a part of, where I could call someone out and say, hey, you're going to have a promotion in this church. It's going to come from the Lord because you honored your pastor and honored what he told you to do. And then that very next, that next Wednesday, they're promoted to be one of the elders of the church. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that was going to happen. I just, what am I saying? You grow and you develop. And this is what God used to grow and develop me. And I wanted to take out time to honor that with this podcast and having Jenna on. So I thank you so much for being on here. It really means a lot. Yeah. And so guys, once again, the youth drew not his sword because he feared, because he was yet a youth. Don't let anyone despise your youth. He told Timothy, whatever God's calling you to do, I don't care what it is. Maybe it's not a Bible study. Maybe you can find inspiration to do something else. Like Jenna, she's a songwriter too. She does all these other things that the Lord's helped her to do, and grow in that, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take that step. And when you take that step, don't get comfortable. Move on. You know, there was a time where it was time to end the Bible study. You know, they're going to, maybe that time comes, move on to the next thing. It's all about growth in the kingdom of God. So anyway, we want you to be encouraged in that today. And let me pray for you really quick as we wrap this up. Father God, I thank you for each and every person who listened to this podcast today. I hope by the Spirit of God, they were able to get something that encouraged them to do what God you've placed in their heart to do. Thank you, Father, that all they have is all they need. They can start that ministry. They can start looking into business, looking into all these different things that you've called them to do, even in the midst of the crazy year that we've had, that you're still able to turn it for good in our lives and to bring us to a new place of intimacy in you to get us to that next level, Father. And we give you praise for that. Thank you for each and every person that listened today. We give you praise for the fruit that will come from this podcast, that people will be inspired, Father. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm after that one person, Lord. If that one person can hear this and be inspired by it, it's all worth it to me. It's worth clicking play, worth clicking record for that one person, Father. And I pray that they were blessed by this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, guys, I love you guys so much. Leave a like, a comment, a review. Let us know if this podcast blessed you. My name is Elijah Merle, and remember this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.